Welcome to today and welcome to the Audible. I'm John Congemi sitting in for Kim Bocamper and Dolphins columnist Andy Cohen. You can see, you can read about him at dolphins.com, AC in the AM. He's joining us today. Thanks, Andy, for coming in and joining us.
My pleasure.
As well as Jeff Peck. He's the committee chair of the Miami Dolphins Fin Weekend, and Fin's Weekend's alive and well, and it's going on this weekend. I know we've got golf. I know we have fishing. I know we have a lot of parties. The good news is everybody that wants to fish probably still can fish. Golf is sold out, but Jeff, take us through the weekend. I know it all starts out at the JW Marriott poolside. There's a big party to start off before we get to golfing and fishing, but take us through the weekend.
Well, it's our 21st year, so we're really excited about it, and you know, it's obviously one of the great events that the Miami Dolphins Foundation put on. The foundation does such a great job giving back in the community. It's really amazing to see what the players and coaches and the cheerleaders all get involved with, the entire organization. So this is one of our big signature events. We're really excited about it. We start Thursday night with kind of a welcome party for the golfers and fishermen that are staying at the JW Marriott in Brickell. And we'll have a welcome party and give out goodie bags and things there. And then, of course, Friday morning, we go right into the golf. Nat Moore and his crew have done an amazing job. So we're sold out at golf, so you can't golf.
That's awesome.
But the golfers will go out in the morning, and they'll come back in, and they'll all go to the tent, which will be at the Rickenbacker Marina, really right in front of the old Marine Stadium, built out this amazing tent. Dory Grogan and her team just amazing. So anyway, we have this big party going on Friday night, and that's the Ford Hook and Tackle Captain's Party that kicks off everything. The golfers will come back in. We've got all kinds of things, you know, band and music, and the players will be out. A chance really to just kind of walk around and interact with the players and the coaches. It's, you know, it's not a red velvet rope kind of thing. Everyone's just out and walk up to Ryan Tannehill or one of the coaches and ask them questions and have a good time. And a lot of other fun things going on. We're going to have a chance to do a hole-in-one out in the water. We'll have a floating
That's usually where my golf water. Ball ends up, exactly. Out in the water. So I might have a pretty good chance at this hole-in-one. But, Jeff, you know what? You mentioned about the interaction between the players and the fans and everybody coming in, not really a red velvet or a red rope type of treatment, but they're accessible. And the good thing, yesterday we saw the Special Olympics come in to the bubble here in Davie, and it was awesome because, Andy, you got to see the players interact with children, with adults, being coaches, being referees, and the same thing with Fin's Weekend. You know, the guys that are playing golf, guys and gals playing golf, guys and gals fishing, whether it's a rookie or whether it's a vet like Cam Wake or an Andre Branch or a Michael Thomas, you're going to get that interaction.
Well, without a doubt. So Saturday morning, we go out fishing, and we come back in, and the weigh-in is presented by our good friends at Hooters Restaurant. So the cheerleaders are out, the Hooters girls are out, we're weighing in fish, and the members of the rookie team will be out there signing autographs from 2 to 4. We're going to have a garage sale like they did during the draft where the fans can come out and just for free come out, meander, meet the rookies, get autographs, see veterans, great alumni come in and weigh their fish, and also have a chance to buy items. You know how they do with a garage sale. It's everything from memorabilia to cleats to all kinds of great things. And so we'll have the weigh-in, and then after that is the big award ceremony, the Champions Award ceremony. And we really raise a lot of money that night with our live auction. And we've got some just really cool, incredible items in the live auction. One of the really big things is 2 seats to go on the team charter to go away with the team, which is
maybe, Andy, we can get in there. We've never really get
to travel. Is that the London trip?
Yeah, we could pick and choose where we want to go.
Experience, it really is. And some just amazing trips. We've got a weekend up in Tampa to go see Jimmy Buffett with VIP and backstage and a chauffeur-driven Rolls Royce to take you to the concert. And it's these kind of items. We've got, gosh, probably 200 silent auction items and then right into the live. So we hope to raise a lot of money that night. We actually have the auction up live on BidPal, or you could go to finsweekend.com and you'll find us on the page, and there's links to everything there.
We've got a couple questions, and if you do have questions about the weekend, Finn's weekend, please hit us up on Periscope Live. But we have one question from Simon JPFC. More interest from the players? Is it golfing, or is it fishing, or maybe is it a combination of both?
It's probably 50-50. Obviously, most of the players are great athletes, so they're all good golfers. But I think, you know, the casualness of going out and fishing and just having a good day. The format is we put a player on a boat. So if you sign up for a celebrity boat, you go out and you take a player fishing with you, and it's a pretty great day. And the players have a good time because it's very laid back, and we usually catch a lot of fish. So for some of these guys, it's their first sailfish or their first mahi, and it's a really great experience.
Well, I know both of you guys have been around this team for a very long time. And Andy, we heard Jeff talk about, you know, the guys are at ease. The guys are a little bit more laid back, whether it's golfing or whether it's fishing. You had a chance to talk to most of the newest members of the Miami Dolphins in this draft class, as have I. And we talked before the show. I felt like this class, you don't want to single any one person out, but this class collectively, intelligent, on the ball, no canned answers. They're very laid back with the way they want to tell you, and they're not really hiding anything. They just lay it right out for you. What was your experience in talking with these guys?
You know, usually when you first meet the rookies, you get their worst interviews, not their best interviews. You've got scared kids who really don't have a feel for what the NFL is about yet. And that was not my takeaway from meeting with these guys. They are confident, well-spoken, sure of themselves. Really, you know, it's hard to group all seven together, but there's an aura about them as I go in to each one. It doesn't appear too big for any of them. And I'm talking about from Charles Harris, the first round pick, to the wide receiver, the seventh round pick. It seems like there's a mesh there, and there's a consistency that was really refreshing to see. And each one has a delightful story that I'm looking forward to tell in my columns, you know, as the year progresses. But yeah, I agree with you. It was a very, very impressive first impression. Jeff, I have a question for you. You've worked so hard at this for so long. I'm wondering, from a personal standpoint, Finn's weekend, what's the most special part of it for you?
Well, it's really an opportunity for everyone to interact with the team, but seeing the fans come out and being able to have that close one-on-one, and then in turn, I get to go and see the good we do back in the community. City Year Miami is our beneficiary from this, and we've made a $1 million commitment to City Year. And what City Year does is they mentor students in public high school that are at risk for not graduating. And in the schools they've gone in, they've raised the graduation rates by huge percentages. And, you know, when you take a kid that isn't accountable to anybody, maybe doesn't have someone that's following up, and you've got this mentor there, they're in the classrooms, they're at the school, they're in red jackets, and they're the ones calling the kid saying, hey, you've got a test tomorrow. Where are you? What happened here? What happened there?
Stuff.
And that accountability is amazing. And when you hear the stories of the kids that actually graduate, it's really an amazing thing what it does back in our community. So for me, you know what, it's very, it's a labor of love. It's very selfish because I get to see a lot of good happen. And obviously under the umbrella of the Miami Dolphins Foundation, the amount of accountability, the foundation does so many great things. We're talking about Finn's weekend, but I have the pleasure to work with the Cycling Challenge, where we've raised, you know, tens of millions of dollars for cancer research. And I don't know about other sports teams or other NFL teams, but I know that from what I've seen over 21 years with the Miami Dolphins and what they do in our community, I've seen the impact. You've seen the lives change. You see the smiles on kids' faces, and you have them all out there. And so it's players, it's fans, it's coaches, and everybody's out for the same common good. And that's a great feeling. It really is.
You know, Jeff, you've been at it for so long, from Coach Shula to Coach Johnson, and now with Coach Gase. You mentioned City Year Miami, the Miami Dolphins Foundation. In those 21 years, just in South Florida, what were the funniest couple of things that may have happened on the golf course or on a fishing boat that, yeah, you could share with everybody?
It's just friends here.
Yeah, that's only us.
I don't know if I can share them all, but there's, you know, especially when there have been in 21 years, we've had a few where this fishing is slow and people start pulling pranks on everybody. And I think we had Channing Crowder fishing 1 year who is
he can
is
scare the fish into the boat.
Yeah, and he's a blast. You know, he said he learned how to be a football player and run from fishing on golf courses, sneaking onto golf courses and getting chased off of golf courses as a kid. But I think we might have tied a bucket to his line while he was sleeping and had him reel that in for quite a while. One of the other really amusing stories was when we first started this, it was Ray Huizenga, the son of Wayne Huizenga, mm-hmm. And myself, and we worked with Fudge Brown and Jimmy Johnson at that point. And I was very, very well lectured on what we can and can't do. And of course, in the many fishing tournaments, the big deal is the money prize. Everyone, there's
the Calcutta.
The Calcutta,
that's it.
Exactly. So I was told there could be no Calcutta, no mention of any type of betting, which there wasn't. And at the captain's party, Jimmy Johnson got up and welcomed everybody and said, "And where's the Calcutta? How are we going to get this thing going?"
Jimmy Johnson wanted that Calcutta. Yeah.
And he fished. He actually won. I think one of the years he won the tournament.
I'm not surprised.
Well, Coach Johnson's still involved down at Jimmy Johnson's Big Chill down in Key Largo. They had the big Calcutta fishing tournament about a month, ago. Very successful. A lot of former players, a lot of Miami Dolphins and former teammates of guys that were probably through all the eras of coaches for the Dolphins get involved with that. But Andy, I want to ask you, I want to follow up on the players and the type of players that the Miami Dolphins drafted heavily on the defensive side of the football. Do you think that they've checked all the boxes in terms of strengthening not only the roster, but challenging and pushing guys at positions of need?
Yeah, I mean, they checked every box I had. You know, you can make an argument about a safety, but they signed two safeties in free agency. So really, when you look at the needs that they filled, it's clear that they accomplished that goal. Now, the next step is getting these players on the field and seeing if they're the right answers for those needs. Early indications are very, very positive with this class. There's a bunch of these guys I'm really looking forward to seeing on the field. I'm really looking forward to seeing in the games. But yeah, it seems like there's certainly more quality depth on this team than a year ago at this time. I don't think anybody can argue that. And a year ago, they really tested that depth. You know, how they do with this depth, I think in some cases, the players may not start that they brought in, but they will push the starters and get more positive results out of them because of their influence there. But I think you're going to see at least two or three of the draft choices playing significant minutes for this team, and maybe as many as four or five of the draft choices.
Well, I know pushing this roster, that's what Adam Gase wants to do, not only in free agency, not only with the draft and the undrafted free agents, but he's looking for competition to make this roster as good and as tough, as challenging as it can be in 2017. Remember, Dolphins going to play a second-place schedule after going 10-6, so it'll be much more difficult, we assume, for the Dolphins to repeat that type of success in 2017. Jeff, I've got one more for you. We go back a long way. It started way back with Jim Kelly. You saw him last week. I know Jim's doing really well, but just tell all Dolphins how you got involved, I guess, starting down this path and been so successful your life.
Well, I started working on doing foundation work. The truth is, you and I met doing charity work, helping Jim Kelly with what he was doing at his foundation. And I thought, gosh, we should be doing the same thing in Miami. I was approached by Coach Shula's group when he was doing the fishing tournament, and it kind of just moved over into the Dolphins. You know, looking and seeing the players and watching them get involved, I'll mention a few real quickly. You know, Ryan Tannehill and Lauren have fished with us. Lauren won our Lady Angler.
Lauren's
division.
The best fisher.
She's
fisherman,
phenomenal.
Fisher. Lady fisherman that you have out there.
I think that fish take her out.
And Ryan's not too bad either.
So, no, Ryan's great. Look, the guys are competitive. They go out, they want to win. Yeah. And, you know, Jason Taylor's another one's been fishing with us from the beginning. And, you know, it's just amazing the amount of energy that comes back in from the players. You know, it's great that they're great on the field, but it's also great that they're great off the field and they're giving back in the community. So I've been involved with it for 21 years, hopefully another 20 plus, I'll keep doing it, and love seeing what the Dolphins do back here in our community.
Well, it's great having you on. Thanks for joining us today, updating us on Finn's weekend. It starts on Thursday night at JW Marriott poolside. There's a little bit of a welcome party, and then we get into golf, which is sold out. If you want to fish, you can still sign up at
finsweekend.com, and then you could come to the party Friday night and sign up. Rickenbacker Marina. Also, I mentioned that Whiskey Joe's. There's a great bar right there for people that want to come and
Bo's been there all the time.
Right,
is
come
a
and
VIP
watch the
there,
weigh-in. Channing Crowder's going to MC our weigh-in, which ought to be a lot of fun. And while you're doing that, they're going to Whiskey Joe's is going to give a donation back to the foundation while you're buying your drinks and watching us weigh in the fish. So you can come out and register on Friday night as well and fish for Saturday.
Jeff Peck, committee chair of the Miami Dolphins Finn's Weekend. Thanks for joining us today. Great job in advance, because I know it's going to be successful. You pray for the weather. Hope that's okay.
But it'll be gorgeous.
Yeah, it'll be gorgeous. Thanks for joining us. And if anybody cancels on the golf, let me know. I'll pack my sticks. Maybe I can get out on the golf course. But thank you very much. I appreciate it. No problem. So that we got golf all tied down. Fishing, there's still some openings. The parties are really what you want to go to, because you mingle with a lot of the Dolphin players post era now, and even current Dolphins. Many of the current Dolphins will be there. But let's get back to football. A couple of things in the news today. We were kind of talking a little bit, Andy, before the show of overtime. I mean, they're trying to tweak overtime again in the National Football League. Right now it's 15 minutes. If you win the coin toss, possess the football, score a touchdown, it's game over.
Right.
If you possess the football, kick a field goal, the opposing team has the chance to go down and tie or win. And if there's nobody that scores or the score is tied, they keep playing for the remainder of sudden death. Now they want to take that 15 minutes, I guess, because they feel it's lengthening the games, but there's probably just a handful of games that get to that position. So wanted to ask your opinion on, you know, I thought they tweaked it in a really good way when they attacked it a few years ago. Mm-hmm. I think it's in a pretty good spot right now. What's your opinion?
I think it's crazy. My personal opinion, I love football, and I want to see more of football, not less. So I'd like them to play until somebody wins. So I may be the wrong person to ask for this. I mean, I remember the double overtime game, and, you know, the Dolphins against Kansas City, and I know that was the playoffs, and I know in the playoffs you have to play until somebody wins. I would like them to play until somebody wins in the regular season. I hate to see a tie on the record. You know, you start figuring out, well, what does that mean? Does that help them? Does that hurt them? But I don't want to see them cut it back. You know, they argue that the games are too long, but how many overtimes are there during the course of the year? Five or six, maybe?
And I think that's the top number, Andy.
And it just builds. I mean, it just builds the pressure, the enthusiasm. You know, I think it's a wonderful thing. And, you know, I want a game to end with a winner. And so I'm really not the ideal person to ask, because I don't even like it at 15 minutes, you know. I think they should play until somebody wins the game.
I like the way college football attacked it. They finally went away from ties. They put in an overtime. You get to double overtime. You have to go for two, and you have to stay going for two from there on. It's a great way to get it. You get it on the 25-yard line, so the fans in that corner of the end zone, and then they switch it, so both sides kind of get first up close and personal for the overtime, which is great. But I agree. I think they've tweaked overtime in the National Football League, and I think they've got it down to a science. I don't think it should be tweaked anymore.
And you don't think the college way would work in the pro way?
I just don't know. I think for the college environment, I think it's a lot of excitement. But for the pros, I don't think that you should eliminate half of the game and put the ball on the 25-yard line, because I think you want to see it play out as an extension of the football game. For college football, I think they've got it down where they can kind of tweak it and it builds excitement, and you're in and out sometimes within 5 minutes,
right,
or sometimes you go for about 25 or 30 minutes,
right,
and you miss your flight if you're announcing the game and you're in trouble for the Dolphins game on Sunday. Yes, that's happened to me.
Okay.
Another thing that came out today, which I thought was potentially a really good rule, is that the plan is for two guys that are listed on IR to be able to come back after week 8.
Okay.
Instead of maybe just designating one player. It's a good rule, because you think of Mike Pouncey last year, and they really didn't know what they were going to do, how they were going to put a designation on him when he was out early in the season. So the NFL plans to let two players come back from IR. In 2012, the league stated that each team was allowed to designate one player for return after week 8. Last year, the league altered that rule, and it meant that you didn't have to require teams to identify that player in advance. Now they're saying you may be able to identify, or you don't have to identify, but you're allowed to have two players come back.
You know, I wonder, why is there a rule on that at all? I mean, why two players? Why not
anybody?
Anybody. I mean, what's the rationale behind limiting the number? If a guy gets healthy, I'm not saying you need more than a 53-man roster. Keep the 53-man roster. And if you have to cut somebody because someone else is ready to come back, bring them back. But isn't the goal to have the highest quality product on the field at all times?
It is.
And if you've got four guys in a situation where they were out for 2 months and the last half of the season's a marathon, it's not a sprint, they're ready to come back, I don't know why there should be restrictions on that.
Well, you know, you talk about having restrictions. Look at last year for the Miami Dolphins. It was the next man up mentality. Guys had to be ready, had to be able to play like a starter and for an extended period of time. So if you've got multiple guys that you're worried about what week they're going to be healthy and trying to gauge that, I think that's a tougher scenario to try to play on the medical side as a coach and as a player. You know, what do you do in terms of trying to pace yourself and be healthy at the right time?
Because I hate when I see a guy on our IR and it's early December and he's running all out at practice. I mean, you see him on the side working out and he could play in a game. And it's unfortunate that that player has to be cheated out of those games, that there can't be a way to bring back more than one or two.
Yeah, that would be nice to see. We've got some more questions. Remember, if you have questions for Andy or myself, Periscope Live down at the bottom of the screen. We've got one from Black Man Game, and he says, what do you think are the positions of need going forward for the Miami Dolphins?
Well, a lot of it depends on the young players and how they perform. For instance, defensive tackle. Before the draft, it was a huge position of need because there really wasn't a lot behind Ndamukong Suh and Jordan Phillips. Well, now they draft two young defensive tackles. So it's very possible that no longer is a position of need, but it depends on the two young defensive tackles. They need to show the team throughout the course of this offseason and into training camp that the depth is fine at defensive tackle. So right now, I would say hold pat. They may tinker the roster a little. There may be a veteran available. I don't think they need to do anything significant until they learn more about their younger players.
I think you're right. I think the Miami Dolphins are in pretty good shape right now in terms of checking all those boxes in free agency and in the draft and in undrafted free agents coming to be members of the Miami Dolphins. Let's just take a look at one position. I was looking over the roster as you were today, and I was looking at the position of running back. And, you know, you go to the NFL top 100 and Jay Ajayi in that 60 to 70 range along with Cam Wake. And I'm sure Ndamukong Suh will join that list along with probably Juice Landry as the list goes on. But you take a look at the running back position. Jay had such a sensational year last year after the way the season started in the summertime in week one, being left home and then rushing for over 1,000 yards and doing what he did with the 200-plus yard games, the amount of tackles that he broke. What do you expect out of a Jay Ajayi this season?
Well, first of all, if Jay Ajayi stays healthy and can play 16 games, I just think he's going to have a beast of a year. I think last year, in many ways, set the table for him. He established an identity. He built confidence both from himself and from his teammates and his coaching staff. Now he enters in a totally different situation than he was a year ago. He will enter training camp as the number one back, the featured back, with a clear track record of performing very well in this league. And if he can stay healthy, and the only reason I preface it is his running style is just so volatile, and I love that about him, but it's physical. So if he can stay healthy, he can surpass last year's numbers.
Right? I think you're right. His style of running and the amount of tackles, the amount of yards after contact that Jay was able to acquire last year and accumulate last year was significant. It really propelled the offense staying on the field and moving down the field and getting a little bit more of explosive plays on the ground from Jay Ajayi. And I think what's going to help him maybe stay healthy is having Kenyon Drake in his second year and getting a little bit bigger body frame and knowing what it takes to be able to make those plays, not only catching the football out of the backfield, but those U-turn runs like in Buffalo when he went down the sidelines for the touchdown. I think the blend between Kenyon and Williams in the backfield catching the football and all the things Damian did on third down is a really good compliment. Could be a great compliment to Jay this year.
Yeah, they don't necessarily have star power behind Jay. And the questioner asked about areas that the Dolphins need to look for more players. I don't think running back is one of them, but once again, similar to defensive tackle, Kenyon Drake needs to show that he can make that jump from the first year to the second year, and I've covered this team a long time, and there's no jump I have seen than from the first year to the second year. He needs to make that. Damian Williams needs to continue. The Dolphins need to have a real sense of comfort behind Jay Ajayi, and that's one of the storylines that they're going to enter training camp with.
I think that is very true about going from year one to year two, talking from experience. You know what to expect. Things slow down just a little bit. I think you react a lot more as a rookie or a freshman or guys that haven't seen a whole lot. But in year two, you kind of you're looking for things. You're looking for traits, the way defensive linemen, the way linebackers, the way corners line up. I think especially for a running back, you get to see those holes and maybe trust those holes a little bit more or be able to get out of a bad play and into a good play a little bit quicker. We have some questions from Periscope Live, and if you have any questions, please go to the bottom down of the page and send them to me. Joey B. Donuts wants to know if Andy can explain
Joey B.
ESPN's grading our off-season moves at a D+. He's just shaking his head.
First of all, these grades are a total joke. I'm ready to grade the 2014 draft,
yeah,
by the way.
I was going to ask you that. That's probably how you go about it,
You know, but, you know, everybody's an expert. Everybody has the answers. I don't pretend to have all the answers. I can tell you this. Julius Thomas was a stud with Adam Gase with Denver. And he's healthy now, and I believe Adam feels he's going to be a stud again. I'm not going to question that move. Lawrence Timmons has been a consistently productive linebacker in this league for a long time. People are saying he's getting older. Everybody gets older, but that doesn't mean he can't have another productive year, 2-3 years, be the impact player he was for the Steelers. So, you know, my grade comes at the end of the season. My grade doesn't come at the beginning of the season.
I'm going to give an early grade today to the Philadelphia Eagles for signing LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah.
I think that was trending towards B+, could be A-, because it adds to a backfield with Ryan Matthews and Darren Sproles and some other guys. I didn't realize that Blount led the NFL in touchdowns with 18.
The thing you got to remember about LeGarrette Blount. It's what's in his head. He played for the Steelers a few years ago.
It was a D-.
And did nothing
right.
for the Steelers.
You're right.
Something about New England flips his switch. He's been by far the most productive when he's with the Patriots. I'm cautiously waiting to see how he performs with another team, because I've seen him let teams down as well as come through for teams.
Okay, Chill Town Finn fans ask, Andy, when are we going to see AC in the AM all year round?
Well, I can tell you, you're going to see it every single day, Monday through Friday, beginning the first day of training camp, and that's about 7 months.
Yeah, we got to give you a
row.
We got to give you a
five
break,
columns
don't we?
A week.
That's right.
So you'll get plenty of Andy Cohen. I can tell you, during the off season, I continue to write. When events warrant, when there's something to opinionate on, I will opinionate. There's a lot of downtime in the off season, so I need to rest my fingers, rest my computer a little. But you have my word. Beginning with the first day of training camp, you'll have AC in the AM Monday through Friday for 7 straight months.
Andy, how much fun did you have last season writing about the Dolphins to the last maybe 8, 9, 10 seasons?
You got to remember, I've covered this team since 1980, so there's been a lot of ups and downs. But yes, it was so refreshing to cover this team. You know, I realized early on that Adam Gase was the right fit for this team. There was no doubt in my mind. I can't say that for other coaches that have been here. With Adam Gase, I was sold early on because he got it. He understood it. He had that quality. And because of that, that made last year so much more enjoyable, because you you sensed and you understood and you saw a method and a reason for everything they were doing, and that was so refreshing.
When was the last time you felt that about the Miami Dolphins?
I don't want to mug the previous coaches, but it had been a while.
And it wasn't just at the beginning of the year. I'm saying as the season went on, you got to know the culture of the team and what they were about. It seemed like for us on the outside looking in, as close as we are to it, there was a switch that went on, and it stayed on, and it seemed like the guys believed it.
You know, and part of it was Adam learning the team. You know, he was a first-year coach. He came in. These were all new players for him. It took him a while to learn the pluses, the minuses, the strengths, the weaknesses of each player. And I think once he did, once he got a feel for that, and it was about the third or fourth week of the season, you saw how everything changed. You saw the wins started to pile up. You saw the confidence grow both from Gase to the players and from the players to Gase. So this year, the advantage for Gase is he knows this team. He knows what makes these players tick. He knows what they're like on Mondays, and he knows what they're like on Sundays. And that can be invaluable in year two in this process.
And Andy, what I saw in Coach Gase change a little bit was, you mentioned he knew had to get to know his players. I think as the play caller, not only the head coach and the play caller, you have to get to know your quarterback, and you have to get to know that relationship, what he likes, what he dislikes, what I can take out of the game plan, what I need to add to accentuate what he does well. Did you see that happening during the season?
What he can do as a coach to put Ryan in the best situation to succeed. You know, I saw that evolve also. And that's one of the things. You know, I had my doubts when Adam Gase first said, I'm going to call the plays, because I've seen it fail so many times in this league. But no, Adam Gase has a real grasp for that, and I understand now why he's deemed a quarterback coach. I understand why every quarterback he has touched has gotten better. You know, it fits, it makes sense. And I think Ryan, just as Adam in the second year of his own system, Ryan in the second year of this system, I think you'll see a better player as well.
Andy Cohen, thanks for joining
That's
me today.
That's it already, we're done?
We've zipped through a half an hour. Thanks for everybody sending in their questions. You guys were great today. Bo will be back on Friday from Finn's Weekend. We're going to do Dolphins Daily down in Miami Beach. We'll have the Audible down in Miami Beach. So look forward to that on Friday. But thanks for joining me today. That was a lot of fun.
Always a
thanks
pleasure.
Again for Jeff Peck updating us on Finn's Weekend. And that's going to do it from Davey. Thanks for joining us today. Well, Bo will be back with you on Friday in the Audible. Everybody, enjoy your Wednesday night and enjoy the weekend. Hopefully you're out at Finn's Weekend.